Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hau Tran. This morning, we've got a wonderful guest, Julie Van Ongeville. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, perfect.
It's a Flemish name. We share some interests there, so maybe we'll speak about it in a bit. She's visiting all the way from Paris, France, where Sanofi's headquarters is. Sanofi, if you don't know, 70 years in Vietnam. It's a pharmaceutical company making a lot of your favorite products, about self-care, about preventative care, about all these different things that we'll speak more in a little bit. Julie's here because it's an extremely important market, Vietnam, for Sanofi. They've got a factory here, a wonderful team. They've got a wonderful office too on Hàm Nghi in Ho Chi Minh City. Check it out. A lot of history behind that. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you in Vietnam. Yeah, just to start off, you know, on the notes here, my team wrote, tell us about your background prior to Sanofi. I want to hear more about, we were talking offline. We both know a little bit about Belgium. You're obviously a bit more than I. Tell us how you got started and your career ended up being in Sanofi. Quite the journey, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can talk for a long time.
And okay.
It's a long, long question. But yeah, so I am from Belgium. I'm from the, as you know, the north part of Belgium, the Flemish part of Belgium. I joined Sanofi 2.5 years ago, come from a completely different industry. I'm not a scientist. I have no pharma background, but I'm passionate about people and consumers, and as a result, brands. And the main reason I moved, so my background was mainly in the beauty industry. Lived and worked in Belgium, but also in Paris, and was in charge of Europe, Middle East, Africa, India, but also then moved to New York and was in charge of North America and globally for multiple brands. The reason I joined Sanofi is really because as a consumer, I think, and definitely the pandemic has amplified it, but even prior to the pandemic, there's nothing more important than healthcare, or there's nothing more important than our own health and our family's health and our loved ones. Mm-hmm. However, I do think that in our industry, it's still extremely difficult to, without the help, and sometimes even with the help of a doctor or a pharmacist, to find the right product. And I think there's an enormous opportunity for people to take better care of themselves, really own their health in their own hands, and as a result, prevent quite a lot of things and live happier, longer,
right,
and also have a positive effect on the government.
Your colleague, Kevin, who's the country manager for Vietnam, on our previous show, we talked a lot about the differences between self-care, prevention, and also treatment.
Yes.
And looking back at the last couple of years where the global health system was in crisis, not just because of COVID, but because of other diseases that have been impacted, the hospitals and all that, because of this pandemic, the overriding concern from doctors and experts was that everyone's focused on treatment and not self-care and prevention.
No.
It sounds like Sanofi wants to, and is
hopefully
doing a lot in that. And that's not just to hopefully be a stronger team and company and provide more services and products to people, but to put less burden on the system.
Yes.
That's where it starts.
Totally.
Sounds like. Yeah.
And I think also, I mean, not later than, I think it was yesterday when I visited our plant, or maybe the day before. What is phenomenal of joining a company like Sanofi for me is that I'm a very passionate person, but here I'm doing a job with a huge purpose. And doing good for people. We're also working on doing good for the planet. But the purpose that this company is offering and truly making an impact, of course, not only being a great company and growing and great sales, of course, but if you can do both at the same time and also contribute to, again, to our planet and to the people on the planet, that's for me, I think probably getting older, I'm becoming more and more purpose-driven.
Sure, sure.
So that's one of the reasons I also changed industry.
Okay. Buy some more Pharmaton, by the way, everybody. that's my favorite from Sanofi.
Very good. Gives great energy.
One thing I forgot to mention was what you do at Sanofi. I understand you lead the global consumer healthcare team. What does that exactly entail? Mm-hmm. And maybe you can share more about why you're here in Vietnam in your capacity as well.
Okay. Yeah. So within Sanofi, we have four divisions. One of them is general medicine, so the classical medicine with prescription, you have vaccines, you have specialty care, and then you have consumer healthcare. And consumer healthcare is the division I'm leading, yes, globally, where within consumer healthcare, to be very honest, we are building basically a standalone within Sanofi, meaning that as much as consumer healthcare was managed as being part and managed as a pharma company in the past, we are making it a way more consumer-oriented company, still rooted in science. We are born in science and we'll always will remain rooted in science. However, really with a consumer at the center of what we do, meaning building more agility, being closer to the consumer and the people, understanding their needs and how we need to adapt. Our vision is really to become maybe not the biggest, but definitely the best fast-moving consumer healthcare company in or definitely for the world. And because we talk a lot about FMCG, so fast-moving consumer goods, we will always remain healthcare. So it's all about making healthcare more fast-moving and consumer-centric. So make sure that the science is at the service of the people. And I think that's what we've been doing, again, since I joined, is trying to make our division more consumer-centric, but more dynamic, so that we can help people to take, once again, their health in their hands.
Be more relatable to the people in a way, because when people think of medicine, health, they immediately get afraid. For example, like my dad, older men typically stay away from the hospital because it's a scary place for a lot of people. Somehow make it a daily use case, something that they think of and can add to their health step by step, kind of like exercise and eating well in a way. I think that's important. Vietnam. 70 years. Maybe we can talk about the 70-year history of the company too, and what brings you and the executive team here. There's like 13 of you. That's what Kevin told me, at least. Maybe you can share more about that, the context of that.
So I'll tell you, I did a Vietnam visit a year and a half ago, virtually.
Okay. Virtually.
And the reason I did it is because it was in the middle of the pandemic.
Right.
And I had been blown away by the commitment of our people. During the pandemic, as you probably know much better than I do, because I was not in Vietnam physically, we had people working in our factory who had to stay and sleep in our factory for at least three weeks if they wanted to work.
Yeah.
And again, I was blown away by the commitment of our people being so dedicated that they decided to live in the factory for a couple of weeks. Some stayed more than the minimum time required.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, again, meet them. I wanted to spend time with them. All of that was virtually. So I promised that as soon as I could, and obviously everything would be open up again, I would come and meet them in person. Because it's, having those people such dedication, giving up their family life. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I met people who they learned how to cut hair, and we have an eco garden. So they made it almost a second home. I mean, it's a big moment of pride. Because I don't think many companies would be able to say that people gave up their private life to come and live at their workplace. So again, I was blown away by their commitment and their drive, and I wanted to meet them in person.
Okay.
And on top of that, it is, as you mentioned earlier, a major market for us with still a lot of opportunity, and in which I'm very, very confident, given the commitment and drive and energy that I've seen on top of it now that I'm here in person. A huge opportunity in the market.
I'm going to share some statistics with you that you might not be too familiar with. It's from a different industry and overall. In Vietnam, there's 1 million new 18-year-olds every year turning 18.
Yeah.
Not being born at 18, turning 18.
Yeah.
Which means they need to be buying motorbikes for the first time, phones, laptops, opening bank accounts, thinking about going to the pharmacy store for the first ever time. For example, a lot of first-time experiences. There's also a number, again, unrelated industry, but gives you a sense of the scale. A certain beer company here, it's a global one. It's their second largest market globally, just after Mexico.
They're not Belgian.
They're not. No.
I know.
Your neighbor. And that's pretty incredible if you think about it. It's bigger than the U.S. And I don't know if that was by volume or by profit or by revenue. I'm not sure. It could be all three. I'm not entirely sure about that. Why I bring that up is, in the context of Sanofi, I'm sure there's double-digit growth here compared to other markets where maybe negative even, right? Just global trends are in that direction. Maybe you can comment on that. How does it compare to, as the global head of consumer health, fit in the whole puzzle for your global business? Sure.
So first of all, I can reassure everyone, the global market is not down, is not good. Negative.
Okay.
It is growing, and it has actually been growing quite substantially, even in more mature markets and or more developed markets. Mm. However, it's true that Vietnam, there's a big, as I said, a big opportunity, double-digit growth for sure. And I think, as you made the point on the 1 million 18-year-olds, it's again points me back to our duty to, and our, the role we have to play in making it easier for people to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's, again, the main reason why I joined is because when you live, I mean, in Europe, when you have a pharmacist, each pharmacist might advise you a different product. When you're in a market where you have a gigantic shelf with tons of products, where it's very hard to choose, and you'll choose because what you know from your childhood or because what your friend told you or because the packaging is nicer or because the price is better. So, but you often don't use the right product or in the right way. So I think that's our role, as I keep coming back to it, but bringing health in people's hands and helping those 18-year-olds to be able to make the right choices from the get-go. Mm. That's the goal, and that's, I think, the role we have to play and the opportunity we have in Vietnam.
And that generation may never need treatment, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
Although they are drinking a lot of sugary drinks. I'm not sure about
it's
that.
It's fine. We can help them.
Let's talk about brand love. I understand, like you mentioned, you're not a scientist, but you are more of a marketer, from what I understand. You worked at a series of companies that is all about marketing, at least from what I see.
There's a lot of science behind it.
Oh, yes, that's true. This one's a lot more scientific, though. How do you build brand love among consumers with brands like Pharmaton? You know, I have a keen eye.
You clearly love Pharmaton.
I clearly do. My mother says it's a great product, so that's also why. What strategies do you use to build that trust and empathy? If it's, yes, the scientific, but who actually reads the bottles, right? So how do you do that?
So I think number one is the quality of the product. Mm-hmm. Non-negotiable. And I mean, I think in all industries, but in healthcare, it's even more non-negotiable. Mm. So again, you need that science to make sure that the product that you deliver, it delivers, does what it says and delivers the right quality. Number one. Now, what we're doing and where the opportunity lies is translating that science. Because to your point, maybe your dad is afraid of hospitals, but science is always very complicated language and it's very hard to understand. So often I challenge my team, say, look, I need to understand it. Mm. And I need to be able to share it with my children, with my neighbor, with everyone. And in 3 seconds of what the product does and how it works. So I think this is where we have an opportunity still. But I think if you can create a brand, it's the products, or number one, that people trust. Because, again, they do what they say. It's the number one requisite. The second one is more and more important, I think, today, definitely to me, is the value of the brand. Mm-hmm. What does it stand for? I mean, not later than yesterday, I met with the Hope Foundation in Vietnam because we have one brand, which is Intel Jamina, which is all about gut health. It's probiotics. It's all about gut health. And unfortunately, too many people around the world, also in Vietnam, and too many children are dying from diarrhea. Even broader than that, specifically in Vietnam, what we're doing is that we are supporting schools building simple toilets.
Okay.
Why? Because there are so many schools in rural areas where there's or no toilets or in very, very, very bad shape. That is impacting, again, not only, I'm not even talking about the extreme of child death from diarrhea, but even the way their life is disturbed, or because they don't go to school, or because when they're at school, they're not focused on their work because they're stressed about the fact that there's no bathroom. So we are working with the Hope Foundation. This is specifically to Vietnam, and we're doing it in other countries as well, to try to not only build toilets, but also educate people and children how important it is to wash your hands, giving access to clear water to be able to do it, et cetera, et cetera. So what I mean is, on top of having a product that works, and as a healthcare company, probably more than any other company, we have a duty to give back to our planet and the people on its planet. Mm. And in this case, because originally probiotics is about gut health and diarrhea, there are specific causes that our brands are supporting and that I'm passionate about too. And so if you have the functional benefit and the strong values, authentic strong values of brands, not the blah,
so
blah.
That's how we kind of connect the whole idea of self-care too, in the sense like washing hands is a regular something hopefully people are doing.
Drinking water.
Every day, drinking water. That's meant to promote the idea of self-care at the end of the day. That's the outcome.
Yeah.
The objective.
And luckily, today, more and more people around the world and through generations are more and more interested in living longer, living better, exercising, again, drinking water, doing what's good, not only through by taking products.
So I have a side question. This is more out of your control, though, I would say, just the macro condition of the world. Yes, wellness, yes, health, you know, people love to eat vegetarian, you know, all these trends, but that's not reflecting in the numbers, right? In the sense, like, childhood obesity is rising. Where we are now, our studios here right on the river in Ho Chi Minh City, and at night, a lot of, you may have been seeing it, Julie, actually, if you go around town, you see that a lot of common spaces are actually occupied by kids, young adults, I guess, who are just hanging out in the evening, drinking whatever it might be. And in most cases, it's milk tea, the very favorite Asian kind of drink that's very, very sugary. I think all of us love milk tea every now and then. What do you have to say about that? The trends that, like, packaged goods are also being manufactured at such a rate and marketed. How do you guys, do you battle with that? Do you, how do you build a community and education around that too? If at all.
I cannot say we're battling with it. Mm. We're trying to help to offer education, but also offer solutions to compensate. Mm. Now, I do think that, again, the more we promote the healthy living, and it doesn't mean that you can never have a sugary drink or candy. I do eat candy too. But it's all about extremes, right? Mm. And it's all about balance. And it's how can we, as in our brands, educate people of, not again, not being extreme and say you cannot do nothing and you need to be vegetarian and only exercise every day, etc. But making it more real and authentic, I hope that more and more younger people will understand the benefit, and again, without forbidding anything.
Moving ahead a little bit, I've been told Sanofi has a factory here. It's one of the few places in the world where a lot of capital has been invested to create a factory. As part of that, there's a lot of trends that emerge, such as automation, perhaps digitization. How does Sanofi keep up with that transformation as a business in the context of global, but perhaps here in Vietnam as well?
Sure. So yes, I mean, one of the key factories, we have 13 consumer healthcare factories. Mm-hmm. One of them is in Vietnam, serving Vietnam, but also broader, also the Asia region. But what's also interesting is, yes, the modernization of it, and the modernization in terms of automation, but also in terms of our impact on the environment. So as I mentioned, there's not only an eco garden where the teams working at the plant have been building a garden with fruit and vegetables and where the employees can help themselves and bring things home. But it's also, we have been very, very focused on reducing our CO2 emissions, on having solar panels, et cetera, et cetera. So having an impact on top of the digitalization and the modernization is part actually of the modernization of our plant. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of digitalization, I guess you're not asking the question only for the factories, but yes, on a broader scale.
The whole ecosystem,
which is a big one. Here again, I think our industry is quite behind when you compare to other industries. Mm. And what we've been working on doing is, and this is not going to be new news to anyone, but it's the use of data, the use of AI.
Are you using ChatGPT?
We're playing with it, let's say that way. We're playing with it right now to understand what it could mean. So and to understand what it could mean for the future. Right, so obviously we're playing, just playing right now, to better understand it and see the opportunity and how it could help us. But outside of ChatGPT, definitely data AI is helping us not only in better building relationships with the people and consumers, but also making better choices in terms of investments, of where we advertise or how much we invest in advertising in which country behind which product. So to basically professionalize ourselves and become more effective. So digital is non-negotiable.
Yeah, in a company like Sanofi, which is rich of heritage, I mean, I understand Sanofi, for instance, did a rebranding.
Yes.
A year or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember the old logo had like a splash of orange, I want to say. Or now it's like black and purple.
It's
looks
purple.
Super
It's very dark
slick.
Purple and black.
Yeah. And I'm sure part of that was the communication in regards to topics like this.
Sure. And it was all about modernization.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. And what our logo would stand for. And I don't know if you realize, but the mm-hmm. S is kind of cut. It's almost like a question mark.
Right,
it's challenging ourselves all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what we do. We live in, you know, in the pharma industry, research, there's nothing more important than research. So
yes,
it's questioning the status quo nonstop.
Mm.
But it's not only from an R&D perspective. Mm-hmm. It's in everything we do. I mean, with all the new digital tools, we'll just mention ChatGPT. But new things are happening all the time. So nothing is ever given. Mm-hmm. And we need to question the status quo nonstop.
Very good. We're going through a lot of values of Sanofi at the moment, you know, hitting all the marks here, especially in the context of the rebranding, 70 years in Vietnam, at least. Let's talk about climate change, too. You mentioned solar panels on the rooftop. You know, globally, there's a trend not just towards climate change, but the environment, sustainability, governance, which is kind of ESG. I don't know if that's been discussed on the headquarters.
Big time.
I'd love to hear your thoughts about demonstrating the responsibilities that Sanofi sees when approaching this greater topic. What?
I mean, first of all, we have quite ambitious goals. And obviously for the outside world, but first for ourselves, because again, as a healthcare company, I think it's our duty to also take care of the health of the planet. I think the planet is not in a good shape and it's going to be very difficult and will require all, not only pharma companies, all major companies and every human being if possible, but to contribute to making an effort. So we have ambitious goals with very specific milestones to make sure that we hit our goals, because it's easy to have a 2050 goal or 2035, you know what I mean? But with very specific milestones of how we're going to get to our goals and obviously measure it on a regular basis to make sure we get there. And again, I think because we're such a purpose-driven industry, I think our people are very committed, and I would love you again to see our plant where because you would say, oh, factories. So factories are bad. But actually, when I joined Sanofi, I was very positively surprised by how much effort we had done already. But it's also the use of water, it's the waste. I mean, there's so many levels. But and I would love you to take you through one day all the details on everything we're doing, because it's something to be proud of and quite impressive.
Okay.
But I think it's the short milestones that keep us honest.
Make it measurable.
That make it happen. But we also even look at formulas. We look at what's in our formulas. Can we simplify our formula? I mean, everything.
Mm.
So it's quite exciting. But that requires a specific session.
Okay. Yeah, we'll make that happen.
Yes.
It's recorded.
Yes, we're better.
I do want to highlight, but why I'm glad to also have you on the show here today is to get your perspective on women leadership. What's the best way to support the growth and development of women in leadership positions? I know you can mostly speak from a global perspective. How important is that in the Sanofi context? Has it been a discussion point on your trip here at all?
Yes.
In Vietnam? Love for you to comment on that.
Yeah. No, so thank you for the question, first of all. And I think, yes, and men have a big role to play. Because we need your help. And it was very nice, actually, not later than yesterday, we went to visit some consumers in their house and talk about their products and what they use and how they use them, etc. And what's very nice is that one of them, the last question didn't come from me, but they asked, what kind of woman do you aspire to become? And I saw a woman who said, oh, I want to be powerful. And for her, powerful was being able to take decisions for herself, meaning financially independent. And it was, and she, the way she said it, she was lightening up like, this is what I'm going to become. And I would say to a woman, this is what you should become, right? If this is what you want. I think why I'm saying that we need your help, men, is because I think in general and everywhere I've been around the world, in the majority, women, we don't have the same amount of self-confidence. There's always going to be the question I get the most from women is, how do you work-life balance, right? You want to be the best mom, but you also want to be able to develop yourself and have a career. So it's not easy. But for me, at least, the people who have helped me the most is male colleagues who gave me the confidence when I probably didn't have it, where I didn't even think that I could have another job or I could... I didn't even imagine they would pick me, where I have male colleagues who give me that confidence. And still today, I would even say my current boss, the CEO of Sanofi, Paul Hudson, will say, Julie, you're too modest. And I think modesty is a quality. And he said, yes, modesty is a quality, but the two is too much. So, and it's true. So even today, even though I have a very senior position, etc., I think it's important that we encourage women, and obviously women amongst each other, we should encourage ourselves. But we also, when it comes from a man, it's probably even more powerful.
Sure.
And then also let the pressure go, saying, it's not going to be perfect. You're not going to be the perfect mom, and you're not going to be the perfect whatever, mm-hmm. because perfection does not exist, and it's fine, and not feel guilty for it. But yes, and of course we discuss it at Sanofi, and of course we want to have more women in leadership positions. We have very specific goals. We're actually at consumer healthcare, we're very balanced at 50-50, but we have some more work to do, and we have a very clear goal.
I will admit for myself, so I'm 30, I started this company about 7 years ago, and growing up in the US, these topics were discussed a lot, but I will be one of the first to admit, I mean, when you're 23, I guess you're not thinking about it as much, but I thought it was overrated. I thought it was like, it's everything should be merit-based, just, you know, whatever. Right. And merit, of course, is very important. Yeah. That should be the number one. Yeah, for sure. You have to be like good at what you do. And it's been very informative for me. And I think at least in the Vietnam context, where there are a lot of women leaders, but at the very big companies, let's be honest, no. And also in the context of international companies who are better about these things, they do tend to have leaders if they're from abroad. They are most likely male because they won't take positions abroad in Vietnam because of, you know, it's a bit harder doing work
and
here,
as a husband,
bring your family and, you know, all, yeah, exactly that too. Sure. So I think times are a bit changing. Let's see. Let's check back maybe in a year's time on your next visit.
I hope.
Yeah, let's see.
No, I hope. But I want to say one of my previous bosses, Mr. Mm. Leonard Lauder from the Estée Lauder companies, he would always say, when there's a difficult decision, we need to have a woman at the table. Mm. And why was that? Is because we do bring a different perspective. And so it's not just about having a woman at the table or women at the table. It's to have different perspectives around the table when you have a difficult decision to make. Because it's too easy, and often you make the biggest mistakes when you only have people who think exactly the same way as you do. And there will always be a difference between men and women, but that's the beauty of it.
Right.
And that's a different perspective that we bring.
Okay.
So we should embrace that.
Very good. Do you have any advice for the young women developing their careers today?
So women specifically, try to have confidence. Just, you know, do the best you can. But even for men and women, because I was joking, but I still hire men too. And because I do still think that you need to have the right person for the right role. Mm-hmm. And merit is always going to be my final
value
decision.
The most, right?
Yeah. I want to make sure that we, you know, we interview as many women as we interview men, sometimes even more women, depending where we are or in which field we are. But merit is what counts. And not later than this morning, I had a conversation about the fact that, you know, I come from Belgium, as we started off, tiny country. At some point, I mean, very fast, I was in charge of the Benelux, Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, still three tiny countries. Mm. I mean, you're going to be close to 100 million inhabitants.
Right.
In Belgium, there's 11 million inhabitants,
yes.
Just so you, right? And there was never would I have imagined that they would appoint me for a big role, which was at that time Europe, Middle East, Africa, India, which was a decent region, actually the second biggest region after North America. And the reason I got the job is just because I probably had done something very well in my little zone with my three little countries. So
right.
It was not about the size, but what I've been able to build.
So
that's the advice I would give anyone. Don't be overly ambitious. Don't be impatient. Just do with passion and believe what you're doing, and then you'll get there.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that wraps up what we want to cover with what we'd like to cover with you about Sanofi and your trip out here. Thank you so much for even just coming to Vietnam. I think it's a big statement of intent about Sanofi's intentions here, and we look forward to seeing how that rolls out, of course, with the coming years. I want to turn the page a little bit and just ask you a few questions that we always like to ask our guests. The first is, of course, you're an expert in marketing and brand building and hopefully now consumer health after 2.5 years at the helm, in addition to everything you've done in the past. What would you like to know more about, though? And I asked that in the context of Vietnam, too, because your team here, like Kevin, I met out a few weeks ago, again, the country manager for Vietnam, and he was like, "How? I'm so stressed out. So many people coming. I got to make sure, you know, we've got great content. Everyone's got a great time. Like, everything's tracked by the hour. Like, what do you think?" And I'm sure you're meeting great people, consumers, customers, clients, Hope Foundation, all the wonderful stuff. You're not going to be able to cover everything.
No.
And so my question for you is, what would you like to know more about? It could just be personally. It could be in the professional context. Because we'd like to deliver that content to you in the future.
Oh, I love it.
So, for example, one of the highest in-demand topics that people keep asking us for is travel, but specifically the airline industry. It's a triopoly. I don't even know if that's a word. Yeah. It's only three airlines that travel domestically. And everyone wonders like how these businesses work, especially in Vietnam context. Can we get an airline executive on the show? So that's happening very soon. That's been quoted as the number one. Love to hear from you. Could be about airlines. It could be about anything else. Pass through the streets of Saigon the last few days. What brings in your head right now at the moment?
I mean, the number one thing, I would want to understand the culture even better. I would have to come back and spend definitely more time.
Sure.
So I'm not sure you can. Yeah, of course we can do a podcast about it. But yeah, because yes, I had the chance to meet consumers, retailer, a passionate team, the people in our site, which I met in person. But I think it's even better understand the culture. And what's also very typical about, again, here I'm talking in our industry, is the role of the pharmacist in Vietnam, which is crucial.
They wield a lot of power.
Oh yeah, yes, but it's also how can we help them to be able to help the people, for the people again to be able to take the right choices. So number one, I would say is the culture. The other piece is I'm quite passionate about the environment because I'm worried, and I wish I knew what I could do to make bigger progress in a country like Vietnam without raising fear or anything. But how do you turn it in something positive? How can we educate people, and especially the younger generations, to, without making compromises, sometimes do things a little differently, to be able to care a little bit more about our planet?
Okay.
That's something I would love
to. More content to come then about the environments and the practitioners leading that space. Thank you so much, Julie. Great. Last question, a very simple one. Sanofi, 70-year history, probably hundreds of employees, maybe more. I don't even know, in Vietnam. Are you guys hiring more here? What does that look like? I'm sure it's top of mind as you do business planning with the team here. How big is this market for Sanofi, and what kind of people do you think should be joining the firm here?
We are always looking for people who want to be part of our journey. And our journey is transforming the classical consumer pharma division to a more fast-moving consumer healthcare division. And it's people, it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of excitement because it's, for me and even for myself, right, it's a once-in-a-lifetime or career-time opportunity to be able to contribute to a company of this size, because we are the leader in Vietnam, but to really make an impact, and an impact not only in a professional way, but also in a purposeful way of, I mean, if I want to revolutionize the industry, we want to make this healthcare industry, again, as simple as it should be for people to better take care of themselves. So anyone who has the passion to join us in this kind of journey, I'm interested in, because we need young talent who will help us to get there. We need to be bold.
Very good. So if you're interested in considering a career anywhere, Sanofi is one of them. Especially in Vietnam. I'll drop Kevin's HR team's contact in the comments, and maybe Kevin's phone number too.
Yeah.
We're going to just wrap up with some quick fire questions.
Okay.
So you need to keep them short.
Yeah.
Don't think too much. Keep them short. Yeah. Seven questions. You ready? Can you explain what Sanofi does in Vietnam in one sentence?
Bringing health in people's hands.
Amazing. What innovation do you hope to see in the pharmaceutical industry in Vietnam?
Innovation with no negative impact on the planet.
What's a myth about the pharmaceutical industry that you'd like to debunk?
I mean, the fact that the pharma industry is full of money and not, you know, when you see what we're investing, it's quite something to be proud of in order to develop new medicine and you know, chase new miracles.
Sanofi's hiring. What are the three qualities that you look for in a candidate?
Passion, hard work, but also risk-taking.
On a Sunday at 10 a.m., where would you be and what would you be doing?
Hopefully having breakfast with my children.
Okay, that's great. If I were to type your name, Julie Van Ongeveld, in ChatGPT, and I would ask it to explain who you are, what would it say?
Oh my God, who am I? Very committed, family first, and with a lot of drive, strong values.
Okay, there we go. That's it. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That was fun.
You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.